Yes, sir. In the loop right here on a Wednesday in H-Town. Appreciate the fellas of Payne and Pendergast getting us started in a very unique way. They always do that, and I appreciate that to them. Obviously, our guy B. Scott and then our guy Seth. But yeah, let's get going on In the Loop. Figgy, how you feeling, brother? Because you missed yesterday.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling pretty good, man.
Yeah, I told everyone you were really sick this time.
Yeah, I pretty much lost my voice, man.
Yeah, but hang in there.
He's back.
Got to play hurt.
He's gonna hang in there.
What's crazy is I wasn't even trying to take off yesterday.
Yeah,
and I got to throw our boss under the bus. Laura.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're throwing her under the bus here because it seems like she was right. Like, can you be thrown under the bus if you were right?
Yeah,
I was not. But see, I was not trying to take off. I was going to go to urgent care to make sure everything was cool. So it was just allergies.
Mm-hmm.
But I told her, don't pull the trigger yet. And then I told her, I'm like, yeah, it's nothing crazy. She like, I already got somebody filling in.
Was this by a text or on the phone?
Text.
Okay, I was about to say, if it was on the phone, she heard you and she was like, no, we're good.
Yeah. We're good. We're straight.
But we appreciate you fighting through it here on another edition In the Loop. It's Wednesday. We'll be giving away in the 12 o'clock hour a gift card, $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. We'll do that in the 12 o'clock hour as we continue, I guess, reacting in some ways or getting a better feel of this Texas team after they get a victory in to the Dallas Cowboys on the road on Monday night. And we start, I guess, begin looking towards the Titans game. Back into the division that is, you know, in some ways woeful. But this is a team that presents a particular challenge. We'll get there. But I think we've all gotten to the point with this Texans team where we are no longer looking at them and their competition in the AFC South. You need to get the things done there. But that's almost like a to-do list. That's like your chores at the house, making sure that you handle business. The real aspirations are, what can you do against the AFC, the teams in the AFC, the ones that you are likely to see in the playoffs once you do handle your business against the AFC South? And in order to reach some of the heights that we had hoped and some of the heights that this team themselves had hoped, because I want to make it less about us and about what their expectations were.
Yeah.
They probably need to find a way to become more of the elite team that they have positioned themselves to be.
Yeah, they do. You know, the playoffs are pretty much a given for this team. We know that. So you want to compete, huh? You want to make a run. You want to do something more than just get to a divisional playoff game. You want to actually win it. Well, so it occurred to me today, well, last night, but I put it in there today. Like, what's the path? What's the path for them to be able to be quote unquote elite and be a team that can compete with, we all know the usual suspects, right? You know, Bills and Chiefs and Ravens and all that.
Even Steelers now have positioned themselves into an interesting place.
Yeah, it's funny you say that.
Okay, is that gonna be a foundational to your argument?
Yeah, you're helping me out here. So ESPN always comes up with the power rankings, which, take them for what it's worth, but it's something that everybody, whether they admit it or not, they look at, right? So the usual suspects are at the top. I'll go 1 through 5. Lions, Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, Steelers are the fifth in their power rankings.
And it feels like when you get the Steelers getting the fifth, is just like, all right, fine. We can't poke holes in this because this is a team with a couple of quarterbacks that are kind of reclamation projects, and you know, obviously the defense was very good, but they just pieced together a passing offense and all this, and you looked around and you were like, hey man, is this really going to keep going on? And through 11 weeks, at some point you have to go, all right, this is real.
It's
going to
keep going on.
It seems like they've gotten to that point where everybody is willing to be like, okay, they're actually good and we're not going to keep fighting. Yeah. In fact, Stephen A. Smith, put whatever value you want to put on it, the Steelers are number 4 on his Stephen A.'s list.
So Stephen A. has them 4, ESPN has them 5, and then the rest of the top 10 are Vikings, Ravens, Packers, Chargers, Commanders. So the Texans aren't in the top 10.
Oh.
They're not in the top 11. Arizona Cardinals are 11th. The Texans right now are 12th. 12th, that's right.
Yeah.
In the ESPN power rankings.
I believe the Athletic has them similar. I was looking at one earlier that has them in 13. Like, they're in that general just above average range.
But then I'm kind of digesting the Texans game and you know, looking forward, and how do they get there? You know, what's the path to reach that top 5, top 6, and you know, legitimately have a chance to make some noise in the AFC? I think they're kind of already on it, and we just haven't really noticed it. you know, we've talked about it.
Wait, you think they're on the path to being that team?
In one way, I think they are.
Okay, please explain, because I'm not sure if I
what
quite
team?
See it the same.
The
same.
Texans. The I said
Texans.
On the path. I said not there.
On the path of being what?
Of reaching top five, top six, and being a legitimate contender.
I'm interested in hearing your take on this.
You ready?
Please.
What did DeMeco say from the moment he stepped into NRG again as head coach? We want to be a running team. We want to have a great defense. Swarm. That's the path that they're on, man. We all want CJ Stroud lighting everybody up and Nico Collins going deep and all this other stuff. Joe Mixon ranks eighth in the NFL in rushing, and he's played two or three more games, fewer games than anybody ahead of him.
Correct.
I mean, that is incredible.
It absolutely is.
That's incredible. He averages 4.5 yards a carry. That's a running team. Now he's it. Now he is the running part of the running team,
and
he's it.
And you begin alluding to my issue with what you're talking about here, where you're not wrong, right? Like, there is a path to being a really good football team. In fact, like, DeMeco Ryans isn't coming in with a new blueprint. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's really nothing new under the sun. But, like, especially when it comes to this one that you're talking about mm-hmm. for a very good team in the league, it's one of those things that you absolutely see in a lot of these Shanahan systems, but obviously going back to the Niners, right? Mm-hmm. A very good defense, being able to run the football and having an electric player back there. Obviously, yeah. Of late, it's been Christian McCaffrey for them. And then working off of that, still being able to be effective yeah. and dangerous throwing the football. All those elements are there. The problem is you look at the elements and you inspect them closer. And it's kind of like how I felt in some. Oh, that's a little mean. But this is an extreme example of it. But it's kind of how I felt when I had a homeboy come to me. And he was like, yo, I got a friend who just got a whole surround sound speaker system that they're giving away for the low. You want it? And I was like, free?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the box and I was looking at it and some of these things weren't spelled right on the side of the box. So, you know, it was like, oh yeah, the system. And I was like, okay, I don't see any like logos that I'm familiar with. I don't know what this system is. Opened it up and I was like, okay, I guess like technically this is a surround sound system.
Yeah.
But it is not of the highest quality. And this is what I get to with this Texas team. You look at the running attack, you're like, oh, look at all these yards for Joe Mixon.
Mm-hmm.
But it is individual brilliance.
It is.
And it is a lot of like chunk plays and explosives, but it's not consistent.
But does it matter if he stays healthy?
It does.
I don't think it does.
I think it does, because like, yes, you can get the 100 yards or whatever, but one of the things that we talk about with being a running team, the most devastating parts of that is being able to run when you need to in very specific situations, mm-hmm. right? When you need to put the game away, can you run the ball consistently, successfully, like the 4 yards in a cloud of dust type running? Can you affect your will? They've moved closer towards that,
mm-hmm.
but that's with the understanding that they were far away previously, and a lot of that has to do with the offensive line.
Sure.
But they're not close enough to being that kind of team where you can just, all right, when we need 4 yards, you know we need 4 yards, here we go, we're going to line it up and do it. Especially when I say that, consistently against teams of the caliber that you're going to be talking about.
See,
to make yourself an elite team.
I think they got a lot closer to that on Monday night. They got a lot closer to that with, like, if Joe Mixon stays healthy, and I know that, you know, that can always be a big if, but if he stays healthy, he is the running team. He's it. Even if take away was a 45-yard touchdown run, he still was popping off some really good runs. But here's where I say it's that they are, you know, we haven't even talked about it. We haven't really noticed it that much, but they're on the path to becoming a team that can threaten, especially if they get another couple of wins against some awful teams coming up. It's the defense, man. Right now, today, going into week 12 of the NFL season, the Texans are fourth in the entire league in turnover differential, third in interceptions, second in takeaways, fourth in total defense, first in completion percentage against, third in yards per attempt against, third in opposing passer rating. That, by any definition, maybe we're just too close, is pretty damn close to elite.
I mean, the defense is clearly very yeah. good and getting better when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I'm being the guy who's like poking holes and
no, in that's why we want to have this discussion, because like it was like a
sure
a light bulb moment. I was like, well, how do they get there?
Yeah, but
it's not really gonna. We can't count on we. Okay, let me put it this way:
mm-hmm.
we can't count on CJ becoming otherworldly overnight in the last six games. Well, I mean, it would be great, and maybe he's capable of it, but we can't count on it. We can't count on, you know, just Nico being, you know, the save-all there. But one thing we can count on if he's healthy is Joe Mixon. The other thing we can count on is this defense just, you know, wrecking fools.
But I think that therein lies, I think, one of the issues. And one of the things, what I was trying to acknowledge earlier is that in the salary cap era of the National Football League, weaknesses will happen. Like, that is what the whole salary cap is built for. Like, you're not going to have a perfect team. So when I'm pointing these things out, I'm not doing it to say that if you have any weaknesses, you can't be a great football team, because that'd be asinine. Mm-hmm. That is how this league is built to operate. But what I'm pointing to is that I think you have a lot of things, a lot of different places that are not super stable that you can lean on. You're right. The defense is one you absolutely can lean on. The running game, to some extent. But then, like, again, you can get a whole bunch of yards, but because you have not been incredible throwing the football, and that's a lot of because of the pass protection, right? I don't think that you pass protect at a high enough level to go out and, like, really kill things. And I think also you've frequently put yourself in third and long to a point where you've really required a lot of incredible plays on third down to keep you going.
Sure.
And that's where we get back to the consistency. Like, you're not consistent enough. And so the places where you can be consistent is defense and question mark, right? You could put up yards, but the consistency of putting up yards whenever you need them is something that is suspect with this team. And I don't know that a win against the Cowboys, a Cowboys team defense that didn't stop the run well, doing that there was nice to see. I don't know that I've seen it to the extent where I could say that's something that you can lean on. The things that I'm talking about are things that you can lean on to then say that you're an elite team.
But, okay, so I understand. But I think the fact that this defense is so freaking good, and you can, again, when healthy, lean on whether it's 4 or 5 yards at a time, putting a game away, as you were referencing earlier, you know, with 3-4 yard runs in the fourth quarter. One thing you can lean on is Joe Mixon getting 100 yards. You know, Joe Mixon's going to get, and that is a big factor in terms of, like, what they want to be. Are we a running team? And then there's this. They're facing, I'll call it the hot at the right time factor, or the confidence factor. They're coming off just absolutely demolishing an awful team.
Yes.
They've got two more awful teams coming in.
With caveats, I think the Titans game actually presents an interesting challenge.
I'm talking about their offense.
But I hear you. You're right.
The Titans are 25th in offense, 28th in points per game, 29th in passing yards per game. Oh, by the way, how do opposing quarterbacks do in this stadium? Awful.
Yeah, not very well.
Awful.
Not very well.
And now you got Will Levis coming in. So let's say they back up the Cowboys game with two more overwhelming performances defensively against teams that should be overwhelmed by the Texans defense. That's three in a row going into Chiefs and Ravens. I think that's a factor. I think all of a sudden they're humming.
And that's one of the things that, yes, is great about this stretch of playing some of the teams that aren't on that level that we're talking about.
Yeah.
When we talk about, like, real competition and competitors and contenders, right? That's one of the beauties, is that maybe you can build your confidence up, as we've been saying it, see the ball go through the hoop, to use a basketball analogy, and get yourself playing better. And then also, I think that's one of the brilliant parts of having a late bye week this season for you, is that you give yourself an opportunity to also rest and recuperate. So it's not just the vibes and the whatever you want to say of the play style, but it's also maybe the energy and the health of your team getting better and ready for that stretch. But still, you're talking about a defense that is an incredibly high level, which you cannot deny, I think, and we'll talk even more about that later in this program. The problem is, are they being complimented? Because I don't know how often you can go to the levels of elite. You could be good, but I don't know that you can go to the levels of elite being one faceted. And I think that the thing that annoys and frustrates me with this Texas team is that they can be really good passing the football. They can be really good running the football, but those things aren't consistent. Those aren't. It's one of the things that we were talking about with a coach, right? Sometimes it's better to have a player that you know is consistent, that I can put him in and I know exactly what I'm getting from him.
Yeah.
Because I can bank on that. I can game plan for that. When you have a player that I know he's good sometimes, but sometimes he's going to go off on a really bad stretch of play, that makes it a little bit tougher to depend on. And I think that that's what we're talking, or at least for me, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to this Texas team. And that's where the frustration has lied. I've been looking for another portion of this team outside of the defense to show me some level of consistency that you can bank on.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you have that, especially when part of seeing the good play from the run is Joe Mixon making things happen himself. Part of seeing the good play for the pass is Nico Collins making big things happen, not entirely by himself, but largely because due to his play.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
I get it. You laid it out just fine. Well, that sounded kind of pandering. You laid it out well. You laid it out well. But what I'm saying is he came in saying running game, defense. No matter how you parse it out, they have a running game and they have a borderline elite defense, and that's with the Titans and then the Jaguars upcoming. You get me to the end of the season against the Chiefs and then the Ravens and then at the Titans with this defense humming with Joe Mixon healthy. No matter how he gets to it, he's going to get to 100 yards, you know, or more. I think this team all of a sudden is on the path. They are on, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're there.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're there. I'm saying
I'm not giving you enough credit for that point.
They are on the path to being able to threaten like we all thought, just in a different way.
But do you think this type of play can actually beat the Chiefs or the Ravens or the Bills, like just that run and defense type thing? Because it's not like we got Trent Dilfer out there where, you know, it's just...
No, you're still going to need CJ to make plays.
By the way, with all due disrespect to Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
I want that to be known.
Yeah. Look, man, we still got CJ Stroud, man. I love what Joe Mixon is doing. And, yes, I think you should establish the run. But at some point, we got to see some more flashes from CJ Stroud.
But see, that's kind of the wild card. Like, let's say they're on this path and all of a sudden we're looking, this is a number two defense, whatever, number three defense. They're number four right now. Yeah. Number one, who knows? And you still have CJ Stroud in your back pocket? I like it.
And I hear you from a general sense, but one of the things about it is, again, when we're talking about this, the idea of being elite, that is shown and proven against the better teams in this league. And I think this stretch of games will help you build confidence and maybe operates as an opportunity to work your way closer to that. But the margins get really thin against the likes of the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Steelers and, of course, the Buffalo Bills, who you did beat earlier this season. It's just how often can this Texans team hit their mark and get through those thin margins? I don't have supreme confidence that they're hitting their mark. Do they have the capability? Absolutely. And I think that's what you're talking about with the path. Mm-hmm. But the path is only so good as it's trodden. And I'm not certain that they are like operating in such a way where they're going to hit all the marks to be that. And look, there's still more opportunities to prove that.
Yeah.
But that's going to need to be proven as we are 11 weeks in, and I still have some questions, and I think a lot of people do as well. On the 5-Hour Energy fan line, courtesy of 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans, we got a text in that says, are we sure the Texans have a good defense, or are they just good against bad quarterbacks? We'll examine that more later in the program. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, because we'll have our guy Adam Spillane at 1040, let's get to the question of the day. Who are the most overrated athletes in sports all time? There was an entity that put together the Mount Rushmore of overrated sports athletes. I kind of want to get into that. So let us know. 713-572-4610. Who are the most overrated athletes of all time? We'll discuss it next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, who is breathing much better now.
Yeah, yeah.
Reginald Atitula hanging out with me.
Breathing
on
fire.
A Wednesday. Get involved with the program, the YouTube and the Twitch, both available. YouTube is Sports Radio 610, Twitch is 610 Houston. In fact, on the YouTube, yeah, y'all are on it. I appreciate y'all being super and well-informed Texans fans, as we only just, as that segment was beginning, learned that the Texans are bringing back to the practice squad, re-signing to the practice squad, Miles Bryant and J.J. Taylor. Clearly guys that they like.
Yeah.
But they had to cut those guys, make some roster moves.
Bring them back.
Those guys are making their way back. The people who were released, Cam Irvin, who was one of those many guards slash tackles that was brought in this, you know, as they were trying to figure out the offensive line. I guess he didn't give them, show them much, I guess, or whatever.
Right.
And then Rashad Weaver, who is a defensive end. But yeah. Those are some things that happen with your Texans. A little bit of churn on the practice squad, as tends to happen. But there you go. Yeah, getting involved with the program in all sorts of different ways. And then, of course, you can do that with the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. Let's get into the question of the day here, fellas. As Awful Announcing put out a piece entitled, "Who is on the Mount Rushmore of Overhyped Athletes?" And I was like, all right, let's make this question of the day. Who is the most overhyped athlete, or who are the overhyped athletes you think of? 713-572-4610. Because on this Mount Rushmore, Lopez, they obviously Mount Rushmore, the, you know, the
iconic, we are aware. It is used a lot.
It's overused. In fact, Mount Rushmore is the most overrated device in sports, in fact. But, you know, obviously it's a device used to talk about the four best, even though I don't know if the Mount Rushmore of presidents, which is the literal Mount Rushmore there, and one of them Dakotas, I can't remember which one. I don't know if that's like the four best presidents. But the four overhyped athletes that Awful Announcing went with: Tim Tebow.
Okay.
Bronny James.
Oh, God.
Freddie Adu.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And Dak Prescott.
Now, see.
Now, are you talking about bad players?
That's a great question. Yeah. So, like, when it comes to overrated is always a very interesting concept, right? Yeah. Like, you get people chanting it at college games. Overrated.
Yeah.
And it really, it's tough because overrated doesn't mean bad.
Yeah.
Overrated also is a relative term to like whatever your you know, public perception is, and perception isn't even like easy to grab onto. It's a little nebulous, and so some of this is tough. Not only that, but like Tim Tebow is a really interesting example of this, because overrated also doesn't work easily, because he was definitely overrated as a professional football player,
right?
As a college football player,
stud.
I don't think he was overrated.
Nah, you could probably say he's one of the best. In
one of the best college football quarterbacks we've seen.
Same thing with Brian Bosworth. You know, Brian Bosworth in college was one of the best players you would have ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
Not that good as a pro.
Sometimes it don't pan out. Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Was he
on that list as well?
Yeah. Might have been overrated, though.
Shoot.
He was doing that. Mike Evans down there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alabama.
Anyway, I think, to me, we've had this discussion in different contexts over the years. And to me, there's like a clear winner that nobody ever thinks about, probably because she's female, if we're being honest, that the hype was so over the top. And the production was literally zero.
Oh, I'm interested to see where he's going.
Zero. Like, she never won.
I'm scared.
Anything.
Are you doing Sharapova?
Danica Patrick.
Danica was bad.
Danica Patrick was awful.
I thought you were going to say Michelle Wee.
You would have thought not Michelle Wee. I was thinking somebody else. Anyway, Danica Patrick, all due respect to, you know, making the most of it, she was the most hyped athlete for about 6 or 8, maybe longer years.
Who would have? Did you anticipate motorsports coming in here?
And no, one, I did not. That's why I said it. Motorsports comes into play. Female comes into play, I'm guessing. But there is no one. No one can compare with Danica Patrick. She won nothing. There was some contrived race in Japan that they let her win. But in terms of like NASCAR and specifically open wheel, zero. In fact, I looked it up because I always come back to Danica Patrick. Her average finishing position in all her races of her career, 24th.
Damn, she was that bad?
She was awful.
Yeah, she was not.
She was awful.
She was not very good.
Yeah, so that's always my go-to. And then I always protect some players. I always defend some players.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting part of this. Do you want to do
Joe Namath. People say, well, you know.
Yeah, Joe Namath definitely comes up on these.
He threw a lot of interceptions. Man, he threw for over 4,000 yards in 1967.
Yeah, era.
In 1967, he threw for 4,000. He won a freaking Super Bowl with a bad team. Like, they weren't that good. They had a good defense, but they weren't that good, the Jets. Like, I always defend Joe Namath. You know, he's another one that I always defend. But, yeah.
One my father always bring up, and being a Browns fan, He could not stand, what's his name? What's the quarterback?
Which Brian Sipe?
No, not Brian Sipe, but Bernie Kosar.
Kosar.
Ah. He always felt like he was overrated, man. Mm-hmm. He's like, man, everybody always talk about.
I love Kosar.
He was not
I'm a big fan of your dad, but tell him I disagree with that.
Yeah, he was not a fan of Bernie Kosar at Kosar. All.
I feel like some of the most fun of these are like when you have that homeboy or that friend or what have you person in your life that really feels strongly about one, whether you agree or not. And sometimes it's more fun if you disagree because they'll let you know every time. And you know who my homeboy is in this instance? It's not even a boy. It's my mother.
Yeah.
My mother very strongly to this day. And like I feel almost every Thanksgiving she holds court on this. I don't know why it happens on Thanksgiving. Well, I do know actually. It's because this team plays every Thanksgiving. She thinks that Troy Aikman was the most overrated quarterback.
She's not alone.
Hey,
no, she's not.
She's not alone.
I've been popping up on YouTube, man.
And let's be clear on this. We're not talking busts. We're talking overrated. Yeah. Because people are putting Ryan Leaf and Tony Mandarich. Busts.
I feel like the criteria should be somebody that played in that league for
and was hyped and really wasn't that.
So, like, if Trevor Lawrence played for, like, 12 years and he was pretty much the same what we see now,
He's working on it.
No, he would be on that list to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Troy Aikman, who I've seen come on the YouTube and I believe also on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, Tony Romo, or sorry, again, I keep saying it, Troy Aikman. Though they're not the same guy, although kind of similar in some ways.
They do the same thing.
But Tony Romo's on my team.
But Aikman, my mom's always like, oh, if it wasn't for Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin.
I mean,
and one thing that she doesn't get to is that offensive line was a monster.
Monster. I think there are a couple of Rockets that are on the list, and I don't agree with one. Some people would argue, you know, James Harden. I mean, he folds in the postseason and hasn't won anything, but he absolute monster. I mean, I think he's living up to the hype in terms of as an individual talent.
Yeah, and I think this is where I'm going to be a nitpicker on the word itself. I think like a lot of people recognize exactly what he was and rated him accordingly, although, you know, like MVP consideration, all that would maybe make that a little tough, but I think he was rated fairly.
Anna Kournikova's on the list.
Anna Kournikova's
she went about six or 8 years of, Anna Kournikova. She didn't win squat either.
Yeah.
Some other ones that come in on the text line from the 281. Oh, you bold doing this one. Allen Iverson.
Oh, nah, dog.
Figgy, would you like the floor?
Oh, nah, man. Come on. What you mean,
that dude
man?
Was
overrated?
Again, we're not talking bust. Jamarcus Russell, someone said. No. Overrated. Scottie Pippen might be on that list.
Oh, yeah. Scottie Pippen. I feel like Bomani Jones makes a point about Scottie Pippen is that there's only two modes of Scottie Pippen. You think he was overrated or you think he was underrated?
Yeah.
Because of like the style of play that he had, but then also the team and the you know, the surrounding pieces that he played with. It feels like there's only two ways. And so, but one of those ways is believing that maybe he gets too much due for being a
Terry Bradshaw's overrated
on that. Terry Bradshaw came. In fact, that might have been the first name that came
in. Is that right?
On the text line from the 346.
Yeah, I think he's overrated.
Yeah. Current players I'm thinking about as far as the NBA. Tobias Harris, man. That brother just stealing money, man. I don't understand why teams keep paying him this money. That brother, I don't know what he do good. That brother just tall. That's all he is,
you know,
man.
You know what Tobias Harris...
They give him $50 million every time you blink.
Tobias Harris is a part of the looks the part designation. Because, he is a nice wing player with some height. He could play that three, that four.
That's what pissed me off about the NBA, too, man. They always look at height, and they be like, oh, he's so athletic.
Yeah, okay.
Like, can he shoot?
Okay, can he shoot?
Like, man, I don't give a damn how athletic you are.
And
man.
He's one of those guys that, like... In theory, does all those things. You get him on paper, it's a little tough.
12 points.
One of the things I love saying about the man himself is if you need 7 points, he'll get you 15. You need 25, he'll get you 15. Man. That's
the old Walt Garrison.
Let's give him 100 million.
Yeah, Don Meredith used to say that about Walt Garrison. You need 3 yards, he'll get you 3 yards. You need 15 yards, he'll get you 3 yards.
That's right. And so some of this is actually about the expectations that we have outside. Some other ones that come in. 346 says Ryan Presley.
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil comes. That actually might fit here as, clearly a very good pass protector. But hey man, the game is more than pass protection, and we're getting a very very clear indication and picture of that this season. Not that we didn't know it before, but it gets very evident that the weak spots of just kind of being I am a great pass protector and not great in other aspects.
He might fit a lot of rockets here. We had obviously, you know, James Harden,
Yao Ming, Pippen.
He's not overrated, but someone said McGrady.
That's another one where it was just injuries robbed Tracy. Like the back spasms that constantly happened made it so that I don't think you got a full accounting of what Tracy McGrady could have been. I don't know how much do we factor in injuries to the overrated perspective, or do we just talk about like that perspective of capability versus matching it? Do you agree with the Brad Lidge shout that comes in here?
No, that was just a collapse. He had a long stretch of just being one bad dude.
We'll talk more about this gentleman, as he is one of those guys that you view as a potential like pillar of this defense. Someone texted in Derek Stingley.
Hell no.
Nah, man.
Hell no.
And I feel like at that point we're ignoring kind of the rule of sometimes no news is good news.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's like there's certain positions, right? Offensive line. No news is good news. You're not hearing about the offensive line. It's probably because they're doing their job and doing what they're supposed to do. Cornerback, in some ways, you could end up in a no news is good news type vibe. Where
all the time.
Like, oh, yeah, people aren't throwing his way. That means that they are deathly afraid of that dude. And it feels like Stingley is very much finding himself in that space this season.
Yeah. What about Derek Jeter? Is he overrated? A lot of people used to say slightly. He was a little bit overrated.
He is slightly overrated.
Slightly.
Because is he even a top 10 best New Yorkers? Like Yankees? Yeah.
Well, that's also kind of an unfair metric considering the history of that particular franchise. So much of this is about like what he delivers as a person, as a leader, and those things you cannot deny. And he was a very good player. Don't get me out here lying. I still think that he was the second best shortstop when that trade was made, and he remained as the shortstop.
Ben Simmons, yes,
bust, not overrated.
Man, that dude getting paid, man. He in there with
money
Tobias
has
Harris.
Nothing to do with it. I'm talking about the perception.
To me, a bust is somebody that you know don't get that contract. They out the league kind of early.
Well, he can't you know help their stupidity.
They gave him a I would put him on that list, man. I don't know why people just decide to pay him. That's ridiculous, man.
Aaron Judge comes in, which that playoff performance might have you there. If you're 45 to 55, Todd Van Poppel. Jalen Green is one of those names that comes up. Hey, man, let's actually hold on to that. I would like to ask our guy Adam Spillane about that, as he'll join us in this next segment. Let's talk a little bit about the Rockets and, of course, not big news, but slight news in the Alex Bregman continuing saga of free agency. We'll talk about that next with Adam Spillane. Sports Radio 610.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Baseball Spo.
All right, Adam Spillane, baseball, our Astros insider, our Rockets insider, all of that here with us. Take artist, resident Indiana fan. There's all these things that, a lot of things that we'd like to get to, but we were just talking about earlier right here in the loop in our question of the day. The most underrated athletes of all time and overrated. Some people were coming in with underrated here, and we were just having fun with that during the break. But the most overrated, thank you for keeping me clean there, athletes of all time. And first, I would like to get, do you have any that you'd like to add into this before I get to one of the names that came up in our conversation?
I'm starting. Well, so I think you look, Joel Embiid has to be in there now. Just the fact that to be in the league this long and to claim to be as good as you are and to never have gone to a conference final in the East. Mm-hmm. Come on. Like that can't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be in there for me. And then Giannis is getting there. Giannis is getting there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they had that one run, but after that, you know, you look at Giannis in the playoffs before that, it's a lot of disappointments. You look at Giannis in the playoffs after that, it's a lot of disappointments. I'm not there yet on it, but he's on Fraud Watch.
Okay. Okay, that's a good take. All right, and speaking of takes, one of the takes that came in, and it's from our guy Ocho's, and I know he has a particular distaste for this man, but Jalen Green was put up as overrated. And I'm not going to do this on the larger scale, but in this season, we came in early on feeling like, oh, Jalen Green has really found some things. came out, was, you know, scoring efficiently. He has been a playmaker, a secondary playmaker for this team. But in the month of November, this thing has absolutely ticked downward for him, where the scoring has not happened at the same level. I know that he's trying to have a little bit of answers for some of these drop coverages that they're getting in with the mid-range jumpers that just kind of aren't falling. How have you felt about Jalen Green, I guess, in an overrated, underrated context, especially with this November stint that's been going for?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into overrated, underrated with him right now just
because
it's so early. But no, October, he was a completely different player. He was shooting the ball really well, and he thought that, okay, maybe he had figured that part of his game out. And then you get into November, and the shots just aren't falling. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the splits are right off the top of my head, but I mean, he was into the 40s as a three-point shooter for the first 5-6 games of the year, and that's really cratered. And it obviously has hurt them, because this offense at times can be very inefficient. And you look at the game on Monday night in Milwaukee, they were a very inefficient offense in that game, and it cost them that game. And, you know, Green is finishing better at the rim. I think that's been a really big positive for him, is that he has been much better within the restricted area. But then you look at, like, shots from within 8 to 16 feet of the basket. Entering Monday's game, he was shooting 21% on those. Like, that's the stuff that has to get better, because those are the shots that he can get whenever he wants. And there was one late in that game on Monday where he has this nice little jab step drive, this step back 16-footer. I think it might have been a 15-footer. And he just is able to create so much space that if he can make that consistently, that's going to be there for him anytime he wants. And he missed it. And then, you know, Milwaukee obviously comes back and wins that game.
Yeah, real quick, you mentioned the splits. In the month of October, he was shooting 41% basically from three. That's dropped to 27. Yeah. In the month of November. And the big thing is, like, you see the offensive rating go from 115 to a 96, which is, I mean, that's a good nine points offensive rating wise in a drop.
Well, not 96 is like as bad as it can be.
Yeah.
In today's NBA.
So are we going to have this discussion again about Green and Şengün? Because my big thing is the spacing with Jalen Green, because he's a guy that needs, when there is nobody up in top of the lane or whatever. Running the offense, they're getting the touches, you know, in the middle of the lane or wherever inside the arc, that he's better when they're spacing. Are we going to be down that road again?
No, I don't think so, because he's finishing better at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is finishing better at the rim. The thing that has kind of gone for him, at least over the last few weeks, has been the shot. And I think that neither one of them have been very good. You know, you look at Şengün, has just been incredibly inefficient as well. And his inefficiency has come from shots at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's been a problem. And this is the one interesting thing about Şengün. I don't think I know he's not 100% healthy. And some fans, you know, kind of brought up that he had a heating pad or an ice pack on his low back.
Yeah.
This was going back 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I asked Udoka about this. Like, is he dealing with any sort of injury? The answer that I got is no. Is he 100%? Udoka said yes. That's not true. Like, from what I've been told, he's dealing with some low back soreness. He's been getting some acupuncture treatments on that. And so you can tell that maybe, like, the lift isn't there for him, and that's why he's been a little inefficient so far this season. So I'm not drawing any conclusions on anything involving those two just yet, but it is something that I obviously am watching for. But I don't think that Green has become less efficient on the floor because of Şengün's presence here in the last 3 weeks.
I kind of want to piggyback off that, but, like, jump a little bit wider in our view and our scope. This Rockets team obviously has taken what they were trying to find off, or just as a team with their identity, and it feels like it's crystallized a little bit better. How have you kind of viewed the approach that the Rockets are taking? Let's go more offensively here. Does it feel like they've found something identity wise with what they're doing?
They want to play fast, and you can see they are having success when they do that. I guess the two big things are pace, and they have really upped their pace here in the month of November. They want to force turnovers, and then the big thing for them is offensive rebounds. And they've been pretty good.
They've been better
at getting offensive rebounds, and that's been really that's been a focus of theirs really since camp started, is getting offensive rebounds. And I don't know where they are in offensive rebound efficiency, but they were top three last time I looked, so that's been a big focus of theirs, and so far it's worked out. And they've needed the extra possessions just because
second in offensive rebound.
Yeah, and so, like, that's the big thing with them. They Udoka has very much the same type of I don't credo is the right word, but he has the same, he approaches things very similar to how Kelvin Sampson does, where Kelvin Sampson wants to win the turnover battle and he wants to win the offensive rebound battle. Like, he wants to crush in those two categories, and Udoka is kind of the same way. So they are really focused on getting offensive rebounds. They're focused on forcing turnovers. They take good care of the ball because of VanVleet's presence. The thing for them is, can they start making shots? And right now, they are not doing that at a good enough level, and that's what's holding them back right now.
But you do have the Terror Twins coming in. By the way, that should be the Twin Terrors, right? Because it used to be the Twin Towers.
You don't like the Terror at all.
It should be the Twin Terrors. What were they thinking?
Using the word terror.
what were they thinking? But that clearly is the absolute best development of anything that we've seen.
Yeah, just because they have an ability to change a game when those two step on the floor. And I see a lot of, well, they should be in the starting lineup, blah, blah, blah,
no.
blah. The starting lineup has been fine. The starting lineup is outscoring teams by 12 points per 100 possessions.
That also really underrates what Dylan Brooks has been doing.
Yes.
Right?
No. And VanVleet, too. And Jabari Smith. I know people are kind of down on Jabari Smith, but Jabari Smith does a lot of things well on the basketball court. Mm-hmm. Might not always show up on the stat sheet, but he is still a very valuable player.
He's guarding centers this
year. Yes, that's
outright. Yeah.
I think if you asked Ime, his preferred lineup would be with Jabari playing center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That group with Eason and with Thompson can come in and just wreck a game.
Yeah.
And whether if they are trailing, like they had the game the first game against the Clippers on Wednesday, they were trailing when those two came into the game. They came in and boom, right away, they wrecked that game. The second game on Friday, the Rockets had the lead when those two came in and they were able to extend that lead out. Mm-hmm. So like those two guys doing what they're doing has been incredibly valuable, either to get the team back in the game after maybe the starters struggle a little bit, or to help build on a lead. And they create a lot of issues for teams just with their size and with the way that they can defend.
So trade, no trade, what's going on?
For
the Rockets?
Nothing. I don't think they're doing anything for a while. I think they want to see how this group meshes. I think that they want to get as much information out of this group as they can. And there's not a whole lot that they can do right now anyways. When you look, I mean, most of the league can't get traded for another 3 weeks, December 15th. They really can't trade. Like, if they wanted to trade Jalen Green or Alperen Şengün, it's basically impossible because of the extensions that they signed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of weird salary cap stuff that goes in with that. So I don't think they are. I think they want to see how this group looks together for at least another couple of months before they start getting into trades.
Real quickly, I did want to mention that, you know, Bregman declined, obviously, the qualifying offer. It feels like we're in a holding pattern there, right? Right?
I guess. I mean, I don't know what's going on there.
Fair enough.
And that's the problem with baseball
free agency. The price is going to go up.
Yeah, but this is just what baseball free agency is, where you look in the NBA and the NFL, free agency starts and, like, everybody signed within 3 days. MLB, I don't think anybody signed. At least anybody of significance has signed at this point, and it's been open for a while. And so teams take their time. Boris is going to hold out, and he's going to get what he wants to get. And if he doesn't get that exact offer, then they'll go with the short-term deal for Bregman, which Boris has done now with Carlos Correa. He's done it with Blake Snell. He did it with Matt Chapman. So he's not, you know, they're not going to just like, oh, hey, here's 5 years, 150. No, they're going to get what they want, basically, before this thing is said and done.
All right, I have to try and sneak this in real quick. 10 Windiana.
Yeah, man.
Ranked number 5.
Yeah.
Ohio State this week.
Yeah.
11 Windiana?
Probably not. Let's just be real.
It's their game of the century.
It is.
It's Indiana's game of the century.
It's the biggest game in program history.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. Program goes back over 100 years.
But they've had some big games. But nothing like this.
Not really.
you mentioned that, like, to get bowl eligible, some of these other ones back in the day.
When I was in school, the big games were the games where we got bowl
but this
eligible.
Is the game of the century.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great for the Big Ten. You look, the two most important games that are going to be left on the college football schedule this season are Big Ten games. It's this top five battle with Indiana and Ohio State Saturday, and then Oregon against the winner in the Big Ten Championship.
A&M Texas might be pretty big.
Nobody cares outside this state. Let's be honest.
What?
It's not a top. I'm talking top five.
What?
They're going to fight in the break.
Ranking. Yeah, exactly.
But the winner gets in.
But nobody cares about
the SEC Championship game and then a lock
but
and all that
I'm
stuff.
I'm just saying, I'm talking top five matchups.
Let's look at the ratings afterwards. All right. You want to bet
Indiana
on the ratings?
Indiana wins 10 games.
You like to wager? Let's wager on the ratings.
Well, you guys get the ESPN primetime, and we get the Fox Big Noon kickoff.
Okay. That's the sound of Adam Spillane crawfishing.
Wow. Did it get warmer in here?